This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's D-I-A-G-E-O BarAcademy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/HRN.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Greg, friend, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I set up my grill and did some grilling out on Memorial Day, but I hear you moved.
I did. That was how I spent my Memorial Day, putting all of my worldly possessions into boxes that I got from the liquor store. And I felt so bad because it's the liquor store directly beneath my apartment. And I feel fairly confident in saying that I probably been a pretty good customer for the last 12 months. And when I went in, you know, the guy was like, "Hey man, what can I get for you today?" And I was like, "Boxes, I'm moving." And I could see the sadness and a little bit of the fear on his face. And yeah,
sure, so he's thinking about putting his kids through college. Yeah, and now you've dashed those hopes.
I know. Every time I made a purchase, I feel like it went into an envelope that was just labeled like boat fund or something like that. So to the wonderful folks that run Z&E Liquors in Bed-Stuy, I'm sorry, but to everybody else in Bed-Stuy, check them out. They're pretty cool. They have rum barbed court. I don't know if they call it the three stars anymore, because now we all live in our Black Mirror dystopia where we gauge everything on a 5-star scale, but they have the clear rum, which is delicious, which is one of my personal favorites. So go and buy a lot of it, because I won't be there as frequently as I used to.
You moved to, where'd you move to?
It's this place called Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge? It's like the other side of the world.
I'll tell you what it's close to. It's close to the ferry. And you know what the ferry has, Souther?
A bar.
The ferry has a bar. Yes, it is public transportation with a bar. And I feel like New Yorkers don't talk about this enough. I also feel
they're keeping it hidden like a secret.
Well, it's good luck now that I'm blabbing about it on the radio. But I mean, well, here's what I'll say. If you put a bar on every single subway car in the MTA, complaints about long commutes would go through the floor. This is my theory. Fights would skyrocket, but complaints about how long the commutes would take, you just wouldn't hear them anymore. Just a little food for thought, because I'm pretty sure Bill de Blasio listens to this show.
Yeah, he definitely does. I've mentioned on the show recently, I moved as well. And for the first time in my entire time in New York City, I now have a backyard that is private. Well, a backyard at all. I've never had a backyard. And I purchased a big old grill and smoker and fired that thing up for Memorial Day weekend. So I'm feeling pretty. Suddenly I feel like I'm settled into this place. We moved here about 5-6 weeks ago now. So it's a real settling feeling to have some friends over and cook some food outside.
Yeah, it's something about the first time you have people over and you sort of entertain, you're just like, yes, like this is my space. I exist here now, you know?
Yeah. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, my life is still a labyrinth of boxes, so I'm a little ways away from that, but I'm looking forward to it.
Just because I don't have time to get everything undone. Largely I think we're pretty settled in, so it feels pretty nice. And you'll get there too, and you know, it's not that bad out there. There's a lot of great pizza out that way, so
a lot of great pizza, a lot of great Yemeni food, a lot of cheap dive bars. Irish Haven.
This is right up your alley, pal. Oh, you're gonna be just fine.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. I'm gonna be just fine out here. And I'll still make the 4-hour commute or whatever it is to come visit you in Bed-Stuy, Souther.
Well, who we got in the virtual studio today, pal?
Today we have a new opte from a bunch of different spots in Seattle. Anu, you're actually at one of those spots right now, right? Remind me which one it is.
Yeah, I am currently sitting inside Vinny's Wine Shop, which is sort of the adjacent part of Navy Strength.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you have
your partners there at Navy Strength, Vinny's Wine Shop, and the bar next door. So it's kind of three in a row, which I love. You know, I'm in a complex myself. You've been here. The bar next door, you're changing all together, right? Was called No Anchor, right?
Right. Yep. It formerly known as No Anchor, our beloved James Beard nominated spot, did not fare well during the pandemic, unfortunately. It's too fancy. So we're just, making it a little more casual, more neighborhoody, throwing some TVs in there. And we're calling it Tradewinds Tavern, expanding the patio. It's going to be great. And Souther, I have to tell you, our business model of having a bunch of restaurants in a small vicinity was definitely inspired by you and the restaurant group that you work for.
So. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You have so many places to lean on when you need resources. You know, your ice machine went down. There's one right next door. Things like that. You know, you're out of citrus. There's someone next door. It's easy to pull and lean on yourself in that way.
I mean, you have that no matter what. So just so long as you like can go to the bar next door and really just crank the charm up to 11. Just like, hey guys, our rag delivery didn't come in today. You happen to be sitting on some spares over here?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I think the very communal and insular nature of our field of endeavor in general, that helps. And you know, there's plenty of stuff going on in your neighborhood as well. Belltown, that's the area, right?
Yes.
So how do you feel about that? Like, I'm very curious to talk to people who are having to make changes during the pandemic. We've made a pretty drastic one ourselves. So how do you feel about letting go of, again, you said James Beard nominated twice, right?
Yeah.
Once who nods?
For, new restaurant and then for bar program. You know,
which is an incredible achievement in its own right. And then to have to say, well, we have to sort of, you know, certainly not throwing out the baby, but we got to get rid of the bathwater and start over, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of torn. It was, you know, because it happened during a pandemic, I wasn't so upset about it. I didn't really feel like it was a huge failure on our part. But at the same time, that fancier concept, the tasting menus, I feel like it had run its course in a way, and it was time to start with something fresh and something new and something more community oriented versus, it was community oriented in the sense that, like, for our staff and our employees, our cooks and our front of house, we were a tight knit crew. There was a lot of education and learning. And then we, you know, presented that through hospitality to our neighbors, but now we want to make it really a place where just come and have fun. We put in a Buck Hunter arcade game. It really is a 180 from what it was before. And I'm really excited about it.
I mean, that's great. And I'm glad you're excited about it. But also, you know, I've been trying to come to terms with the things that happened to my businesses during the pandemic. And, you know, this is silly, but I saw a meme, and it was Jean-Luc Picard, you know, Patrick Stewart, as the captain. And it just said, you know, oftentimes in life, you can do everything right and still not win. So I feel like, you know, a lot of us had to change things that they were right. They were doing right. You know, my businesses were quite profitable and successful, and, you know, that didn't matter in the end. So we had to pivot and change and do things, and, you know, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I love that quote because I ask myself, what are we winning for, or who are we winning for? And in the example of No Anchor, we were winning for our staff and our chefs getting recognition and for our own, like, concept being executed. We loved all that, but were we winning for the neighborhood in that spot? No, we weren't. You know, as soon as the pandemic hit, we recognized that. And so now we're going to try and win for our neighborhood.
Great. And the Tradewinds Tavern is going to be a little bit more sort of sporty, it sounds like, with a couple of TVs.
Yeah.
Buck Hunter in the corner.
Yeah, you know,
is this going to be cocktails at all, or just kind of beers and whiskey and have a good time kind of bar?
Yeah, there will be cocktails, true fashion to what Chris Elford and I are very passionate about. But all the cocktails there, except for highballs and, you know, they'll be able to execute calls like Manhattans and Martinis. But everything else is going to be on tap. So cocktails on draft. There's still a heavy focus on beer. And then we'll have a few wines on tap, too. But it's going to be a super, you know, it's going to be a sports bar with a huge patio. The patio actually doubles our capacity when it's open. So everything is just speed-based quality, but let's get it out fast.
Absolutely. In Seattle, how many days a year can you sit outside?
Every day, Souther. Every day.
You just have to have a really good umbrella.
You can technically sit outside in the rain and snow, but how many days of the year can you serve outside, do you think?
You know what? It does rain a lot here, but even on days where it's sort of misty, people will still sit outside. So, you know, we have our,
They're equipped for it. They got the gear.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you've been to Amsterdam or Europe and people are outside even when it's a little gray.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, we're outside right now as well at Spritz by Amore Margo, and it's a challenge, man. This past week was a lot of rain. And even though we have the sort of hutch situation out there that everyone in New York has, ours is not watertight. So it was kind of raining inside and out. And yeah, it makes it difficult. And New Yorkers are, I don't think, we're tough in a lot of ways, but I don't think we're tough when it comes to weather. I think the slightest hint of rain or snow and New Yorkers scurry. So we're facing that challenge as we move into summer. And then the flip is true as well, by the way. Last year we found out that, man, oh, man, it can be super nice out, but if it's hot, people aren't coming out either. So, you know, we have this kind of small, I feel like it's a small window of, like, that good weather that's not raining and not too hot. And then we move into the hot part and numbers drop considerably. And then it'll get back to that sort of, like, good weather, not too hot and not raining, and then it's wintertime.
Yeah, so. There's like that week in May and that week in September when it's nice in New York, and then other than that, it's just like, don't bother.
Yeah. Or, well, not don't bother, but that New Yorkers can't be bothered.
That's true.
Can't be bothered. If I have to wear my raincoat while I'm sitting having a drink, I'm not going to do it. That's what they think. But it sounds pretty exciting, and it sounds like you're excited about it. Is it? When will it be open?
Well, like
a long pregnant pause. Yeah.
We are shooting for June 11th, pending staffing. So we are looking for line cooks. Line cooks are the biggest challenge we've found so far in hiring. Front of house is coming along great. And yeah, we're just kind of waiting. We got a kitchen manager that's awesome. And we hired a consulting chef for this, which is something we've never done before. And it's turned out really awesome. He's a great guy named Dustin. So June 11th, fingers crossed.
What's the cuisine going to be like? You know, I know that the former place, James Beard Nod, so it was pretty, you know, like you said, a little fancy. What's the cuisine going to be like at the New Trade Winds?
We're taking a lot of inspiration from the Midwest, honestly. We have a few employees, including the GM, Thor Messer, who is from the Midwest. So we're doing fried cheese curds, fried pickles. It's pub fare, but elevated. You know, I don't really know how to describe that type of food because I kind of hate saying elevated pub food. It's just really good food. We're gonna do like a just a delicious smash burger, like simple, small, like not this overwhelmingly giant burger. And Souther, I know you only eat one a year, so
four a year. I'll save one for you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, one per season.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to make it extra seasonal for you when you get here.
I'll definitely come out and have a smash burger and some fried cheese curds and play some Buck Hunter and drink some whiskey. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, this place sounds appealing as hell. Yeah. Trade Winds, where's the name come from?
So the Trade Winds was a bar. I should know the era. I believe it was in the 50s, but it was only a couple of blocks away from where No Anchor is. So just an homage to an old tropical style bar that was in the Belltown neighborhood. Belltown has always been very blue collar, working class, a lot of fishermen, a lot of people working on boats. And so this new bar, Trade Winds Tavern, is paying homage to that as well, paying homage to the working class, people who want to eat, drink, hang out, play Buck Hunter, do all the things you said.
I love it. I mean, it sounds very sounds super warm and welcoming. Sounds like it's, you know, hearkening back to a quote unquote simpler time, maybe. You know, we always think of the times that passed are simpler, but I'm sure that they were all sitting there thinking the time before theirs was simpler. So it just keeps going back to the beginning. But it sounds super inviting, and I can't wait to my next trip to Seattle and get out there and check it out.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What? So now you've got Rob Roy, which has been there for, 13 years now? How old is Rob Roy?
Yeah, it'll be 13 in August, which I feel like this is such a fitting time to turn 13.
Is that a lucky or an unlucky number? Who knows?
You know what? It was Pele's soccer number, and so I'm going to say that it's lucky. It's been a good number for me. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. I mean, Rob Roy is kind of set the tone in Seattle, right, for cocktailing and what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I when I bought that bar, there weren't a lot of cocktail bars in Seattle. You know, there was Zigzag, which I would visit all the time, and maybe two others. And now there's, you know, 50, hundreds, I don't know. But yeah, we've been cranking along for 13 years, and it's still Rob Roy, and I love that.
Yeah, you got any plans for a sort of 13-year celebration, or is it just going to be business as usual?
Well, you know, I just realized it was going to be 13 years like about a week ago, so I threw it out to the staff. So I'm just waiting to hear their ideas. We'll have a big party, you know, invite back past bartenders like we always do on our anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and just have a good time.
I mean, yeah, that's always a blast to have people come back and get back on.
Yeah.
Get back on the bar and you know, show maybe what they've learned, what they brought, what they got when they were there as well, right?
Yeah.
And then Navy Strength is all throughout the pandemic, you guys were doing to-go cocktail packages, because in Seattle you still can't do to-go cocktails. Is that still correct?
So they extended the law to 2023. So we'll be able to do to-go cocktail kits and to-go cocktails as long as they're sealed when they go out the door. So, you know, you can't have a lid with a straw hole in it, that sort of thing.
And so I was going to say, in New Orleans, the lid technically counts as a seal.
Well, I think some bars are getting away with that here.
I mean, what does sealed mean? Can I put it in a quart container with a lid on it? Is that sealed? What is sealed?
You know, so early on in the pandemic, yes, people were definitely doing that. But then, like, wrapping it in saran wrap or taping it to, like, put a little extra... I don't know.
A little child proofing on there.
Yeah, put just a little like have a nice day sticker over like the little straw hole. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Kids can't get at this.
We, at Navy Strength early, we ordered those, like, unfortunately plastic, but those plastic bottles that have like the juice bottles you see at stores. Like the
sure, with a tamper evident cap that you can screw on.
Yep, exactly. So that worked great.
Nutcrackers here in New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then at Rob Roy, we just got those little heat gun strips that you put around the lid and heat gun it, closes it up, like seals the top.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
So much fun for pranks too, those are. Food for thought.
Yeah.
So, well, you're giving me ideas. I hadn't thought of that.
Heat gun. Swap it out for someone's hair dryer.
Just in time for the 13th birthday party too. It's going to be hilarious.
Great. Yeah, that's a lot of hurdles to have to go through. You know, here in New York anyway, we can sell to-go cocktails just, you know, in a cup with a lid, or not even a lid, I think you can get away with. Of course, all of mine are in bottles. All my products are shelf-stable anyway, so I sell them in, 100, 200, 500, and full liter bottles. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can get, you know, a liter bottle of Negronis is like 10 drinks, you know, so... So people can pick them up in bulk at my shop, which has been very, very helpful for us. Has that been helpful for you to do those sort of things?
Yes and no.
Yeah, I feel the same.
It's been great at Navy Strength. You know, it's not paying the rent, but it's paying our employees to work. Rob Roy, we did sort of the like same sizing format that you just talked about, Souther. But, you know, Rob Roy is just known for its dark, cave-like ambiance, and people want to be in there.
Yep.
And, yes, the drinks are delicious for takeout and to-go, but they are a little more expensive. They were a little more expensive than what, you know, like, even Navy Strength down, you know, a block away, what we were selling here. So we had to make a lot of changes to our beverage program to make the takeout and to-go cocktails a little more appealing to take home. And it was just slow. Like... We were just open Friday and Saturday for a few hours for online order pickup only, and to be honest, we didn't make enough money to even cover labor.
Yeah, no, I've had some similar hurdles with this process. Again, similar to what you just said, my bar, I think a large portion, the greater portion of what my bar is all about is being in there. So to grab the cocktail, to grab a Sharpie mustache and go, is not the same experience for the consumer. Still delicious, of course, but like you're not in that room that speaks to what we do. And so yeah, we've had a little bit gets lost in translation, I think, is what it comes down to. But similarly, I feel like it's not paying all the bills, but it's paying some of them. So we can't ignore it either.
Yeah.
there are those days where we don't even break even. So it's, you know, it's been tough. It's been a tough time. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and keep talking to Anu about what's going on in her life as she's opening up this new place and moving forward with other cool things that she's doing with things like Portland Cocktail Week and Diageo Bar Academy. So stay tuned, everybody.
Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based consumers in your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat, and it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also a frozen pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres calls Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "It's so good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
Hey, Greg, did you know 40% of food is unused or wasted at farmers markets?
What? 40%? That's huge.
40% is massive. It's nearly half. Yeah. And did you know that imperfect or bruised fruits and vegetables are 100% perfect for making cocktail syrups?
I mean, it stands to reason. It's, you know, they can be ugly and lumpy on the outside, but still just as tasty and delicious on the inside. Why not?
That's right. Well, listen, our pal Adam Formier, who, by the way, is the Diageo World Class USA winner this year, has started a project called So Fresh and So Glean. He's out there encouraging bartenders. Yeah. Ripping straight from the headlines.
I see what he did there.
Straight from the headlines. He's out there encouraging bartenders to adopt their local farmers markets to repurpose some of the unusable produce. Unusable. I don't think it's unusable. It's just not the prettiest, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Ugly veggies, you know, need love too.
An opportunity to create sort of micro-seasonal cocktail syrups, and he's out there trying to raise awareness around food insecurity and reducing waste in our bars and venues in general, which I think are all noble things to do. And where do you think you can learn more about this, pal?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say DiageoBarAcademy.com. Is that, am I in the general ballpark? Am I getting warm?
You're in the right ballpark that's hosting a farmer's market this weekend. Yeah, absolutely, man. Diageo Bar Academy, you know, it's a great resource for a lot of things. And I think this project is very cool, right? To get people to take note of the waste that we generate and try and, you know, salvage some of that. I think it's very noble.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, when you think farmers markets, you think, you know, I mean, yes, you are buying from people who probably have, you know, a more sustainable approach to their, you know, the way that their food gets from where it is in the ground to you than a lot of your big box grocery stores out there. But, you know, there's no, the system isn't perfect. And I really like that this is coming along to say, hey, you know, let's encourage these systems that encourage a more kind of like direct from farm to consumer chain of command, and see if we can't make it even better. Like, I think that rules. I'm all about that.
Yeah, so am I. And I really applaud Diageo Bar Academy for having all of these resources out there. And again, we say it all the time, it's free stuff, right? You can get free training and resources for every member of your team. Even just the casual enthusiast can join. You don't have to be a professional to get in this group. There's plenty of members-only content like e-learnings and downloadable tools. There's some masterclass events with industry experts from all over the world.
That's cool.
So, you know, it's tons and tons of stuff. And again, a resource that they're making available to everyone for free. So that tears down those barriers for entry for anyone. As long as you can get a hold of the internet, I think you can get on board with Diageo Bar Academy.
And easy to find, right? Nobody loves a paywall. What's that? Nobody loves a paywall. And absolutely, super easy to find, super free. It's at DiageoBarAcademy.com, which is D-I-A-G-E-O BarAcademy.com. You can just go in there, sign up for the newsletter, poke around, see what strikes your interest. They got something for everybody. It's really, you won't regret it. Trust me.
Yeah, get on board.
And we are back. You were listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Today we're talking with Anu Apte from Seattle about a lot of different things, a lot of the different projects that you're working on, a lot of some of the bar flips that you're doing. And I also definitely want to talk to you about this mental health program that you're working on for hospitality professionals, because that's something we talk about both simultaneously a lot and not enough. I think it's something that I'm glad that it is coming to the forefront of our industry, but it is not anywhere near as much of a focus as it needs to be. So can you walk us through a little bit about how you got involved in that and kind of what your program that you have in Seattle, not San Francisco, is trying to do?
Yeah, so I have my bachelor's degree in behavioral science. I am like a lot of other Indians in the U.S. I'm a med school dropout or a pre-med dropout.
Is that common?
Yes. I mean, it's getting more and more common because we're, discovering that we can do whatever we want. I'm totally aging myself, but that was 15 years ago. And then I got into the bar industry. My mom is also, or was, she's retired, but she was a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So there was always a link to mental health in my life, or at least talking about it, or at least like keeping it in the back of my mind. So for a couple of years, I've just been thinking about how I can get back into a supportive role for the hospitality industry. Now that I'm a restaurant and bar owner, and I have an amazing staff, incredible management, I'm not needed to jump into shifts or, work the late hours that I used to. And I feel that I keep feeling myself being pulled into how can I support my team? How can I support this industry as a whole? So early pandemic, I enrolled to get my posts back in psychology at UC Berkeley. And I'm almost done with that. And then my goal is to enroll in some doctorate programs and see where that takes me. And I don't really know what I will do with that yet, but I do know that it will be hospitality, restaurant and bar focused. So,
I mean, I think that's incredible. And as Greg said, a topic that we touch on, it seems like a lot, but also not enough. And I think it's a resource that is needed out there or in here, in our world anyway. And I think that you're such a comfortable and inviting person to be around in general. I think you'll be a great spearhead in that direction. I don't know. I think people will be drawn to maybe seeking your advice and counsel and help if that's what it comes to.
Thank you, Souther. That really means a lot to me. It really does.
You're so charming.
I try.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think you do. I think it's just natural. It's just boiling out of you all the time.
Yeah, that's my Indian ancestry just coming up to the top, those yoga roots. the other part of it, though, is that I really love taking classes. I love school. I've always loved school. Always.
Yeah. That's your Indian heritage, too, probably.
Okay, I don't think my sisters will listen to this, but I don't think they got that part. But I'm the black sheep in the family in that sense, is that I just love school and I love classes. And like part of bartending and being in the hospitality industry too are like these amazing classes that you can take through things like the Diageo Bar Academy. They have these master classes that on their website you can click on and like learn. It's endless learning through the Diageo Bar Academy. And that just reminds me a lot of like these online classes that I'm taking at UC Berkeley. It's just like really invigorating, really exciting.
Well, I think it's important to point out that, any other field of endeavor that's considered professional, there's constant learning, ongoing learning, right? And I feel like we're finally getting to that space in our field of endeavor, which we have certainly kind of for the past couple of decades stomped our feet to get the attention and be taken seriously. So if we want to be taken seriously as professionals, we have to do the things that other professionals do, which is continue our education, get better at our positions, move things forward, bring things into the light, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that last year put a lot of things online. It like forced us to, go online. And it's great because bartenders have the craziest, schedules. You can't really be like, today is a class day because somebody might call in sick and then you have to jump behind the bar. But when it's all online and with clickable links, it's like there's really no excuse to not continue your education.
Well, yeah, especially when we're talking about Bar Academy, like the one hurdle that I could see being in your way besides timing, which you just eliminated, is cost. And this is free. And it's quality stuff. I think it's, there's plenty of people on the list of the master classes we were talking about off air that are like known professionals throughout the world who are getting in there and sharing what they got. And I think it's incredible.
You go. No, you hang up first.
I was just going to say really quickly that, part of our issue right now is hiring people because everyone's opening and it's like staffing is so hard. And so being able to fit in trainings while we're hiring to be able to open as soon as possible has been a real challenge. On the Bar Academy website, they have all of these courses for managers, which alleviates time for me to like continue hiring while, I've hired a manager and I'm like, here, take these courses. Let's talk about them after. That's just been like a huge help.
Yeah.
And, sure. And this is actually great because that's an even better segue into what I was going to say earlier, which is that, I love that, there's a resource that is available 24/7 and free because, we've all tried to run trainings or classes or just like any sort of like education thing at a bar. And the problem is if you're the sort of place that opens at 11 and goes until 4 a.m., your choices to get the entire staff there for training are either do it at 9 o'clock in the morning when a lot of people are going to just miss the train. So sorry, can't make it. Or, you're going to have to say, you got to work. Sorry. Maybe swing by and try some of this. I don't know. Black IPA or whatever that I have, like when you can, like come by and steal a sip, but you've still got to, someone's got to run the show. So I think it's really cool that there are these resources that you can access in the middle of the afternoon on a day off or at 3 a.m. if you just got back from your shift and you're still all fired up and you don't want to go to bed just yet. I think that's rad.
Yeah. On-demand learning. That's the way the world is going. You just have your finger in so many pies all the time, Anu. I think it's pretty incredible. I don't know how you possibly keep up with it all. You're also a yoga instructor, and then now you're doing something with the National Museum of American History about the 200th anniversary of our Star Spangled Banner. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, that has come and gone.
Oh,
That was a couple of years ago.
Sorry, I'm looking at my notes now. I see. Yeah, it was several years ago. Whoops.
The flag is still there. Turns out
can you see?
Still waving.
That was a really special moment in my career to be able to create a cocktail specifically for the 200th anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner, and go to DC and present at a lovely banquet they had, and then see the new exhibit of the actual flag that was flown, and to see just like how people have treated it over the years. It was, held privately for a long time, and there's all these little pieces that are cut out of it because people would just like want a piece of this history. So these little squares all over the flag are just cut out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I'm from DC and I'm a big history buff. So this checks all of the boxes for me. So I have to ask, what did you do? Like, how do you even begin to start designing a cocktail for something like this?
Well, now you're jogging my memory of the cocktail I made. The cocktail is inherently American, right? But the old fashioned to me is just a, iconic cocktail. We're known for it at Rob Roy. I did a rum-based old-fashioned. There's a lot of history with bootlegging Rum Runners, American sure. History, good or bad. It was a rum old fashioned, served on a large piece of ice, you know, really old school. And then I used some edible gold glitter just like sprinkled over the top to mimic the way
Capitol building.
The Capitol, well, to mimic the way that the fireworks that were,
oh,
well,
sure.
Not fireworks necessarily. Well, it was fireworks, but it was also gunfire. The way that it would reflect in the water as, you know, the thing was being, the thing, the song, the poem, Francis Scott Key. There we go. There's the name. while it was being written, all of this was happening in the background.
Sure. I mean, that sounds like really awesome. And how do you, I think this is a question I have for you, because I feel like I get a few things lobbed at me per, I don't know, year, but you, I feel like you get asked to do a lot of things and you say yes to them, but how do you get in front of these people? Why are people saying to themselves, you know who we need for this? Anu, she's going to be perfect.
Well, as you mentioned, I have my fingers in a lot of pies, and that's just because I really like pie. And so I can't say no. I don't know how to answer that question, Slither, to be honest.
Why are you so popular?
Yeah.
What makes you so great?
It's that twinkle in my eye.
I
think, to be honest, you know, to use a phrase that is not normally thought of as being a phrase people want to be stuck with, but I'm kind of a jack of all trades and truly a master of none. I'm not like, and you know, and that's probably a weird thing to say about myself, but I'm proud of that because I can do a lot of things, but also I'm truly not a master of anything, which I think allows me to be open to learning and listening to people who are masters mm-hmm. in certain trades and certain things. And maybe that makes me, you know, easy to work with because I can like help on a project and be the person that can help on it, but I'm not the master of that skill or that trade or the thing that's being taught or the project that's being done.
And it gives you a certain level of humility where you can still let yourself be open to like new concepts and new education and new experiences. Like I am deeply suspicious of anybody who self-describes as an expert in something. Like people can have other people describe, like, you know, be like, oh, I mean, Souther and I, we get guest pitches a lot for this show, and I can't tell you how many of them have the word expert in them. Like, if you want to have your PR person call you an expert, fine, whatever. But anybody who self-describes as an expert, I'm deeply suspicious because that tells me that they have reached a point where they're like, I'm good. I don't need to learn anything else. Yeah. I have got it, and there's nothing else for me to learn. And I think that that is a foolhardy way to approach anything, particularly something that, you know, you care about and or have built your career around, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like I see you everywhere. You know, your face pops up on stuff all the time, and I'm like, oh, look, who's doing that too? Oh. And you've done so many things in the past, you know, like I just said something about Portland Cocktail Week, and you've been up at in Canada doing cocktail weeks, and of course I see you at Tales of the Cocktail every year, and stuff with, you know, World Class from Diageo, and like I just see your face kind of everywhere. You're sort of ubiquitous in the industry.
Yeah,
You feel that way, or am I just, it's just my perception?
Well, I'm very flattered by that perception. I love it. I do. I don't know. I was about to say I get bored. It's not that I get bored. I just like to do different things all the time. So I think that's why being a restaurant owner is great for me, because I can be the plumber one day and then I can be the maitre d' the next. And so I feel the same way about going to cocktail conferences and teaching classes. If somebody approaches me with a really cool, you know, opportunity to be on a podcast or something, I'm going to say yes.
Going to say absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the coolest thing I've had to do since that flag job. This is great.
Flag thing was red.
You know, to be honest, I have learned to say no this past year to a few things. Yeah. I was, you know, I tend to overextend myself like a lot of people in our industry, and I did say no to a couple of things, and man, it like really messed with my head for a couple of days, like that guilt of like, why did I say no? I need to do it. And then I just, you know, did some yoga, took some deep breaths, and was like, oh fuck, I don't have to do that. Sorry, yeah. I don't know if I can say that word.
I know. You can. It's not fresh fucking air.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, it's a really weird sort of learning curve after learning to say no.
Yeah, it's that's been one of my problems as well. And I think similarly to what you just said, I think if you're in this field of endeavor in general, you're pretty alpha, you know, you're pretty outgoing, pretty outspoken, you know, it's just the type of people that get drawn to this field. And then if you start getting good at it, then you just want to sort of consume as many projects as you can to kind of keep feeding that fire within yourself. And yeah, I definitely this past year did a lot of stuff, like a lot of stuff. Holy cow, this past year. But also I started learning to be able to say no and feel okay about it. Like I do, as you said, that there's a little bit of guilt when I say no to, like, I'm like, wow, this person reached out to me. I feel guilty saying no. Right.
Well, yeah. I think it's because we're curious people. We're people who like to be busy, and we're people who have built our lives around making other people happy. Yeah. And saying no to a project. Oh, and we like fun. That's the other component of this dangerous mixture. So if we're given a project that sounds fun, that our involvement will make someone happy, that will give us something else to, you know, learn about and something to keep ourselves busy, to be in a position where you have to say no to that. It's I'm with the two of you. It's never fun, but it's a very important skill to learn how to do it if you want to stay sane.
Yes.
Cool. Anu, how can people get a hold of you? Now, how can people get a hold of you if they want to ask you to do jump for them? How can people get a hold of you or find out more about what's going on with your multiple locations there in Seattle?
Well, my private phone number is 557.
Yeah. 8675-309.
Yeah. My name is Jenny, if you call. I feel like Instagram really is the best way.
I still kind of open into the question, but the answer I'd say 99 out of 100 times now is Instagram. People say Instagram. So what's your handle? What are the handles?
Yeah. Well, if you check out my personal page, it's Dayglow Beige, which that's a funny.
Nice.
Yeah. When I found an old journal of mine, like I was in, I don't know, elementary school. And I wrote down that my favorite color was fluorescent beige. I don't, there's nothing else written on that page. And, I think it was around the time when I realized I was brown and I lived in a very white neighborhood and I was like, I'm just like fluorescent beige. About a year or two ago, I changed my Instagram handle to Dayglow Beige because fluorescent's just too long. But
I was going to say is that to me, the caveat of the story is that it also tells me that fluorescent beige was taken as an Instagram handle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't think it is, but neon beige was taken. I did try that.
Ah,
Dayglow Beige. So that's where people can check you out on Instagram and on there. I'm sure it lists all the handles for Navy Strength, soon to be Tradewinds, obviously Rob Roy, etc. Correct?
Yep, that's correct.
And of course, if you're visiting Seattle, please go and check out the news spots. They're all charming as fuck. Oh, and Vinny's. I forgot. I always keep forgetting to mention Vinny's because I haven't actually seen Vinny's. I saw it when it was the juice shop.
Right.
I didn't get to see Vinny's yet, but so Vinny's is kind of sandwiched in between Navy Strength and Tradewinds, and it's all natural wine and oyster bar, right?
Yes. Yep. We're slowly bringing back the raw bar aspect of it. That, you know, that concept didn't do too well in a pandemic either.
Yeah. Shared plates of food? No. Yeah, well, that concept, I think, is delightful. You know, you can have yourself a nice sort of tropical-inspired cocktail at Navy Strength and maybe get a heartier snack and a beer at the soon-to-be-open Tradewinds and then pop in for just some wine and oysters at Vinny's. And then, of course, just a block away to Rob Roy and have some cocktails in a dark den. Like you're really buttoning up the area over there. It's pretty great.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and don't forget the goldfish crackers. They're free at Rob Roy. Come get them.
I did forget the goldfish crackers. And they are free. They just keep that bowl sliding out there towards you, which encourages yet another drink. Well, thanks so much for spending your time with us this afternoon. Really a pleasure to hear your voice and have you on. We're way overdue for in-person visit. I can't wait to get out your way. I can't wait for you to come out my way. I can't wait to be traveling again and doing all that fun stuff and really just appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of The Speakeasy. Tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many more shows just like this one. Click on the Beating Heart on our website, heritageradionetwork.org, to donate and keep shows like ours on the air. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.